The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, thank you. Let's take our Bible and go back to Acts chapter 13. Look at verse 42. Acts chapter 13, verse 42. I want to speak this morning on hindering the grace of God. Hindering the grace of God. Here you see in Acts chapter 13 and verse 42, the Bible says, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought, it says, these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And so they're saying, okay, the next time that we're able to come together, the next Sabbath, would you please come back and preach again? The Bible says in Acts chapter 13 and verse 43, note now that all the congregation is broken up. There's the Jews, there's a religious crowd, and they follow Paul and Barnabas. And of course, now Paul and Barnabas is trying to persuade them, those that are saved, by the way, to continue in the grace of God. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 4, you see that the next Sabbath, the whole city shows up. They come out to hear the word of God. Acts chapter 13 and verse 45, you'll see that the Jews saw the multitude. Now watch this. The Bible says they were filled with envy. The Bible says that they spoke things against them, even to the point of contradicting and blaspheming. Then in Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, you see that here Paul and Barnabas, because perhaps of the blaspheming, they wax bold. I mean, they're coming out boldly to preach the word of God in utter truth. And the Bible says that Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. And the Bible says, and it was of the necessity, if you would please, or necessary, that they were supposed to preach the Bible, the truth, the gospel of Christ. They were supposed to preach it to the Jews first. But you note something very sadly, but yet very noteworthy. The Bible says, but when the Jews, they counted themselves as being somebody that was unworthy of receiving that which is, or understanding that which is everlasting life. What happened here, the Bible says that we turn to the Gentiles. Now, for those of you that are in this room, and I would dare say that probably most of us that are in this room are Gentiles. Can I say we're very glad that the gospel of Christ came to us by way of Paul. We're very glad that, now we're not glad that the Jews turned away. We're not glad about that at all. We're not glad. There's, by the way, the same gospel is rich unto all them that call upon him. And so it's good for the Jews. It's good for the Gentiles. It's good for everyone. And so it was sad when the Jews turned away from the gospel of Christ. That was a very sad day recorded in our Bible. However, I am glad that the gospel came to the Gentiles. I'm glad that you and I had an opportunity to be able to hear of the good grace of God and understand the necessity of receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because of that, you and I now are able, as believers in Christ, those who have truly trusted Christ as Savior, as the only one that can take us to heaven through His shed blood, through the good graces of God, we're able to be able to go to heaven. But now, what is it that we hinder God's grace in working in our lives? I mean, now that we are saved, is there a way to hinder the grace of God in our lives? What is grace? God giving us that which we do not deserve. It is the unmerited favor of God through Christ. That is the grace of God. What is mercy? Mercy is withholding that which is the rightful due judgment that you and I ought to have upon us. It's because of the grace of God I get to go to heaven. It's because of the mercy of God I do not have to go to hell. All right? And so thank God for His grace and thank God for His mercy. But after we get saved, what is it that hinders the continual goodness? Understand, the grace of God is giving that to us which we do not deserve. It's the goodnesses of God. It is the blessings of God. It is that which we do not merit, yet we get that because of the very nature, the very being of God. All right? But now wait, what is it that hinders that? Why is it that we do not receive the blessings of God? Why is it that we do not receive that which is the good graces of God? Is there a hindrance? Is there something, if you will, that binds that which is the very hands of God to be able to richly bless His children? Is there a way that we could reverse that? Is there a way that we could do something different in order to obtain that? Well, there is. But let me show you why people do not receive, or why the grace of God is hindered in people's lives. Statement number one, because they walk in the flesh. Because they walk in the flesh. James chapter 4 and in verse 6, the Bible says, he giveth more grace. Listen to it. Wherefore saith God, resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. All right? So here's a person that's walking in the flesh. They're full of pride. They think, I don't need God. I can handle my troubles. I can handle my problems. I can handle my difficulties. I can handle my temptations. I can handle, if you would please, anything that comes my way. And therefore, I do not need the grace of God to be operative in my life. Well, Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 16 says this. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So God says that there is that which is a fleshly walk. If you'd like to see what that fleshly walk is, you could simply turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 5 and be able to do a study in that particular chapter, and it tells you what is that which is the works of the flesh and that which is the fruit of the Spirit. It's a very good litmus test, if you will, if you like to see if you're walking with God or not, if you're pleasing God or not. By the way, if you're having difficulties in your marriage relationship, if you're having difficulties in your child-rearing endeavors, if you're having difficulties in a relationship with another person, then what I would do is I would go to Galatians chapter 5 and find out if you're responding to them in a Christ-like biblical way, or if you're not responding to them in the proper way. Now, you can find that in Galatians chapter 5. By the way, if you live in Galatians chapter 5 and you desire to be that which is a person that walks in the Spirit, can I tell you, by the grace of God, you can do that. There's a way that you can walk in the Spirit. There's a way that you can obey God. There's a way that you can step out and put God first in your life. And can I say to the child of God this morning, we always ought to seek that way. We always ought to be desirous of putting the flesh behind us, the fleshly desires behind us, the fleshly things that try to overcome us. God created you to be able to obey Him. That means having fellowship with Him. That means being obedient to all that He would have you to do. Now, you are supposed to die to your fleshly desires. We are supposed to put our fleshly desires aside. We are supposed to be able to mortify the flesh, as the Bible says, and Paul reiterating that when he says, I die daily. So we're supposed to die. Somebody says, well, I got my feelings hurt. It's because you're not dead. Well, my husband, my wife gets on my nerves. It's because you're not dead. Well, the person sitting next to me annoys me. Well, that's because you're not dead and you sat in the wrong place. But I'm saying this, I'm saying walking in the flesh. You know, there was Reuben Robinson. We knew him as Uncle Bud. Uncle Bud was somebody that never received a formal education, preached as an evangelist for over 60 years, had over 100,000 people walk the aisle receiving Christ as Savior underneath the pitch of his voice as he proclaimed the gospel and preaching it from all over to all over. He was known as Uncle Bud. One day he visited New York, and as he was visiting New York, he said this, and some of the writings that he said. He said, I want to thank the Lord that though I saw the sights of New York, I had no desire for any of it. Now, can I say, the sights of those things that are there, if we're not careful, anywhere can draw us aside. And the reason that we do not have many times the Spirit of God working in and through us to His full capacity is simply because of the fact that we walk in the flesh. The reason that we have the grace of God hindered in our lives many times is because we walk in the flesh. Have you ever said something that you wish you would not have said? Have you ever said something in the way that you wish you would not have said it? Have you ever said something that you regretted to the point that you wish you would not have said it, that if you could live life all over again, you would never say it again? Now, I'm telling you this morning as your preacher that if you would surrender your life to that which is God working in and through you, you would have less temptation to do that which is wrong with your tongue than begin to be overcome by the temptation of doing that which is wrong. Now, how is it that we hinder the grace of God? We hinder the grace of God by walking in the flesh, number one. Number two, we hinder the grace of God by unbelief. We hinder the grace of God by unbelief. In other words, we do not go to God and believe that He will. And by the way, the Bible teaches that God can, and we can, through God and through His good grace, do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, it didn't say I could do all things through me, which strengtheneth me. Put you out of it. You're not supposed to be in it. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 12, the Bible says, take heed, brethren. He says, lest there be any of you, it says, an evil heart, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. Listen to what it says, an evil heart. Listen to it now, an evil heart of unbelief. You mean preacher. You mean if I have unbelief, God looks at that as an evil heart? Yes, He does. Because we're not supposed to have a heart of unbelief. Wait a minute. It says, in departing from the living God. You mean a person that has a heart that is unbelief, God calls that evil? You mean to tell me, preacher, a person that has a heart that is unbelief, God says that's departing from the living God? Yes, it is. See, God wants you always to believe in Him. By the way, if we spend as much time believing in God as we believe in ourselves, it would change our lives. If we would allow God to handle our problems more than we try to handle our problems ourselves, our lives would be different. If we would go to God when there's a problem, when there's a difficulty, when there is an extreme challenge that's in our lives, and we would go to God and go to God first and say, God, You help me. God, I'm relying on You to work in my life. God, You show me what You're trying to do in my life. See, here's the thing. We live all for God when things are going well. We live less for God when things are not going as well. And it should be opposite. It should be opposite. Many times when things are not going well, we as strengthened people of the West, we will rise up and we will try to take care of difficulties, uncertainties, problems, and challenges in our own lives. Because after all, we're capable. But we're not supposed to be capable. That's why in the scriptures, God never talks to you likened onto an adult of full wisdom and maturity. But every time that He talks to you and He talks about you and talks to me and about me, He always refers to us as His children. You know why He refers to us as His children? Because He never wants us to grow up and out of that which is understanding. He is our Father. When's the last time you prayed about a challenge rather than jumping up and trying to handle the challenge yourself? When's the last time you prayed about a matter instead of rising up and saying, God, I need You, because if You don't come through, I'm through. When's the last time you went to God and said, God, I need Your wisdom, Your help, Your clarity. Stop trying to figure your problems out and go to God that already has the answer, and the God that already has the answer can help you with your problem. We get it backwards. I'm saying this morning. How is it that we hinder the grace of God? We hinder the grace of God by walking in the flesh. How is it that we hinder the grace of God? We hinder the grace of God by unbelief. Look at it in Hebrews chapter 3, and verse 12, where the Bible talked about that which is an unbelief, likening it onto an evil heart. And then He talks about that which is unbelief, departing from that which is the living God. But then it continues in verse 13, and He says this, but exhort one another daily. Now, why do we have to exhort one another daily? I'm going to tell you why. Because you and I are not as strong as we think we are. So we need somebody to say, hey, God can. And I love you, but I'm telling you the facts of the matter today, and that is this. You need that daily. I need that daily. I need somebody who's going to walk beside me. You need somebody who's going to walk beside you. And by the way, it changes your total outlook. Because when somebody comes to you and says, hey, God is good. When somebody comes to you and says, hey, let me tell you how God answered that prayer. It changes your definition of thinking. Rather than somebody saying, let me tell you, got this problem about this or got that problem about that. I'm saying this. I'm saying that we understand the Bible says here, but exhort one another daily while it says it is called today. In other words, don't put it off till tomorrow. You see somebody walking around with pooty lip disease. You see somebody walking around and they're sad. You see somebody walking around, looks like they're not going to make it. You see somebody walking around and they're in distress. You see somebody walking around and it looks like they're disappointed. You see somebody walking around, it looks like they're in dismay. You see somebody walking around, and it seems like that they are under the circumstances rather than walking on the circumstances. Can I tell you, take it as a personal push from the Holy Ghost to be able to encourage them. Amen. Encourage them in the way that they should walk. Encourage them the way that they should be. Sometimes all it takes is one word of encouragement to bring somebody back to the dead center will of God. We'll encourage people about everything else. We will. We'll encourage them about their finances. We'll encourage them about, their marriages. We'll encourage them about their child-rearing endeavors. We'll encourage them about what they're trying to do in their vocation. We'll encourage them about many, many things. But we leave off, encourage them about the most important thing. And what is that? That is being close to the Lord Jesus Christ and putting Him first and keeping Him first and having it drive inside of them that wants to be obedient to the Master. I'm saying this. I'm saying the Bible says to exhort one another daily while it is today. Don't put it off. The Bible says, lest you be hardened through the deceptiveness of sin. All right? So he said, don't put it off because after a while you'll not think it's bad. He just got done telling us it's evil. He just got done saying that if you don't believe, he said, what the problem is you're moving away from the living God. That sounds pretty bad. I mean, if somebody's going to take and throw me the life jacket and I can't swim and I'm drowning and I'm going down for the 15th time or whatever, can I tell you, and I reject that, my end is not going to be a pleasurable end. And yet the Bible says that we as believers, we're supposed to go and we're supposed to help people. We live in such a disdaining society when it comes to that which is God, the Bible, and truth. You know, for somebody to walk along and say, hey, listen, isn't God good? To just put that, just that little phrase in your everyday language can cause somebody to start thinking right. You know, when all of a sudden you find a sale, instead of saying, I'm so glad I found the sale, why don't you say, praise God, I found. Put Him in your everyday talk. You know, I keep saying it over and over again in different places, but if you'll bring God in, it helps others to understand who God is. But you have to bring God in order to help others to understand who God is. You know, if somebody comes over to visit you, talk about God. You go out to the marketplace, talk about God. You stop in the gas station. Just yesterday, I had to pull up and get gas. My wife and I were out visiting together and soul winning together. And I told her, I said, honey, we can't go much further because I've got to get gas. And so I pulled up at one of the QT stations, and there was a man, and he had a flatbed that was full of wood and stuff like that. And as my truck was receiving gas, as I pumped it and left it and put it on the trigger there, I went over and I gave him the track. I started talking to him. He said, this is neat. He said, I'm a businessman, just sold my business. And we stood there and we talked for probably, 5-6 minutes, you know, just enjoying each other. As I witnessed to him, and he said, yes, I'm a believer. Yes, I've been saved. And we shared testimonies, and we just enjoyed. And can I tell you, I was glad I met him, and he was glad that he met me. And we enjoyed that time together and just conversing with each other as gas was going into the tanks of our vehicles. Gas was going into our tanks also. And our vehicles left with energy, and we did too. You know why? Because we helped each other. We exhorted one another. Many years ago, there was an agnostic, and the agnostic approached the Christian. He said, I don't want to argue with you. I'm just curious. I do not want to argue with you, but I'm just curious. Why is it that you became a Christian? Why is it that you became a believer? By the time the Christian got done telling him why he became a believer, the agnostic was standing there in tears. And he said, I wish I could only believe what you had to say. Now, by the way, are you listening to me? There's people out there, but what if it was another Christian that came? And what if there was another Christian that came? And what if there was another Christian that came? And what if we all did our jobs, if you would please, and telling about the good grace of God? And it wasn't just a few that you could find a remnant here and there, but yet there was many of us going out. There was many of us that was telling about Christ. There was many of us that was helping others to come to know Christ to save. There was many witnesses and not just a few. Couldn't it be something that all of a sudden there could be a great rise of the grace of God being manifested in the hearts and the lives of people all over the metro, because there wasn't just a few, but there was many. I'm saying this. I'm saying what causes the grace of God to be hindered in our lives is walking in the flesh. Unbelief. Statement number next. Negative speech. Negative speech can hinder the very grace of God. Listen to what it says. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So that means if there is corrupt communication, if there is negative speech coming out, then what happens is that grace is not ministered unto the hearers. It stops it. Luke chapter 4 and verse 22, the Bible says, and it says, and all I bear him witness. Listen to what it says here. Whether it says, at the gracious words which proceed out of his mouth, that they said, is this not Joseph's son? Now, why did they even have a question of who that was? Because his speech was not that of a common man. It was seasoned, it was given in grace that was not normal. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Jehoshaphat, probably by most accounts, I would say overall was a good, godly king. The king over Judah. But he had an unholy alliance. The unholy alliance that he had was with King Ahab, the king of Israel. And because of that unholy alliance, Jehoshaphat was kind of led along, if you will, like a little kid on a string. Matter of fact, it was Ahab that was going to go and was going to go into war. And so he turned to Jehoshaphat and said, hey, come with me. And he was led into war, if you will. Because of that unholy alliance, there was different things that was picked up in Jehoshaphat's life, and he started to make some very foolish decisions because of who he ran with. Later on, he had a son, Jehoram. Jehoram turned out not to be such a good young man. You know why he became not such a good young man? Because his dad, Jehoshaphat, ran with that which was King Ahab. King Ahab had such an indelible impression on him for negative that it changed him. And his son not only saw it, but his son followed it. Can I tell you, you have to be very careful about the negativity that you bring in your life. You have to be very careful about the people that sponsor negativity. You know, that's all they ever talk about. You know, the sky has fallen. Well, great, let's catch it. I mean, you don't have to be negative. Yeah, you're right, it's going to fall. I hope we all don't die. You don't have to be somebody that walks around, you know, they see a glass of water and, oh, praise God, it's half full. And the negative person says, what a shame, it's half empty. You know, I'm saying this, and by the way, it's that way about people at church too. You have some people come to church and say, wow, isn't that a beautiful auditorium? Yes. Wow, look at that. And look at all those choir chairs. Isn't that neat? They got that many adults in the choir. Isn't that phenomenal? And look at those guys sitting on the platform. Look at how educated they look. Look how executively they sit. I mean, look at them. They all look like they're in shape. One shape or another. I mean, look at that. You know, and wasn't it great to go to that Baptist church? I didn't know you could go to a Baptist church and laugh. I mean, I thought that when you walked in a Baptist church, you know, you just kind of had to. Yeah, I didn't know you could go to a Baptist. And there's people that smiled in church. Whoa. I mean, isn't that wrong? Come on. You know, I'm saying this. I'm saying that here, that which was Jehoshaphat lined him up with a guy, lined himself up, did some foolish things. His boy is watching it the whole time. You know, by the way, your children watch you also the whole time. They do. All of a sudden, preacher's up here preaching. He's saying, that's what that Bible says. And you sit back there and say, ooh. He had too much hot sauce this morning on breakfast. I'm saying that the negative speech. Look, instead of always grilling your kid, and by the way, sometimes your kids needs a good grilling. You can't raise your kid just on positive, positive, positive. You have to discipline. You have to lay down rules. You have to do what you're supposed to do. There has to be a balance. And if you don't have a balance, I pity you, because you're going to raise a child that's going to break your heart. But I am going to tell you this. I think sometimes that we, our parents, that, you know, we are so structured about a way, if you will, that we lose our way and we never encourage them. Hey, they got out there the other day, had the sale, the youth yard sale, raised $3,600+ out there in the hot sun. He looks like a lobster. I'm looking at some of our kids out here. They look like lobsters. You know? I mean, I'm looking at some of the kids. They're tired. They're weary. But thank God they weren't doing drugs yesterday. They might do them tomorrow, but they weren't doing them yesterday. But we got good kids. Because we have good parents. Because they're trying. Now, I'm saying this morning. I'm saying that that negative. You, hey, thank God. Somebody goes out. They go soul winning. They come to church. Boy, they set up in church. They didn't sleep. You know, there has to be some. Hey, come on. God is good. Amen. Come on, talk to me. I said, God is good.
Amen.
You know, you can rejoice over some of the things that God has done in your life. Statement number one, I said this, how is it that we hinder the grace of God by walking in the flesh? Statement number two, by unbelief. Statement number three, by negative speech. Let me give you one last thing, I'm done. By bitterness. By bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 15, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. How do you fail of the grace of God? Here's a glass of water. We're going to call it God's grace. Here we go. Here it is. God's grace right here. Here it is. God's grace right here. There it is. It's going to fall. God's grace is going to fall. There it is. God's grace. There it is. I'm thirsty. Boy, I'd like a blessing. I'd really like for God to do something. God said, here it is. Here it is. I'm doing it for you. Here it is. And yet I walk around, God hadn't blessed me. I wish God would bless me. And God said, it's right there. It's right there. Boy, I tell you what, I wish God was good to me. And God, it's right there. It's right there. There it is. You know, I just don't see what all God has done for me. God said, it's right there. There it is. It's right there. Sometimes we have to have somebody. Sometimes we have to have somebody to come along and remind us of how good God is.
Remember that?
That?
God gave it to you.
God gave me that.
God gave it to you.
God gives that to everybody.
Well, he gave it to you. He didn't leave you out.
To me.
He gave it to you.
You sure that's for me?
That's for you.
You sure?
Don't you remember?
If I don't grab, if I try and grab, it's gonna fall or something. It's going to go away.
It'll come back.
It'll come back?
He'll give it
you. Think
you.
I could, you really think?
Yes.
It's mine.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I can have it.
Yes, sir.
I can take it.
Look, here, right there.
Take it. Thank you so much. That's exactly what the Bible's talking about. Because you see, some people don't understand the grace of God until you do what he just did, and I was hoping he would do it soon, or the sermon would go for another hour. But sometimes somebody's got to reach out, and they hear you saying, you sure that's for me? You sure? Do you understand? And sometimes you've got to be that friend and get it and say, yes, it is. Here. Here. It's like you say, I'd like to take you out for lunch. Oh, really? No, you don't want to take me out for lunch. No, really, we'd like to take you out for lunch. No, no, you want to take me out for lunch. Yeah, yeah. Come to lunch with me and my wife today. No, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want... The reason... Here. You see what I'm saying? Come on. Okay, I'm walking around, got poochy lip. Here it is. Got poochy lip. He comes up and he tries to help me to take the grace of God.
Hey, it's okay. Everything will be fine.
I don't think it's going to be okay.
It'll be good.
I don't think it's...
God is good.
What are you talking about? Okay.
God is good. Take it.
What do you mean? Come on now.
You know,
don't you understand all my problems? I mean, I got so many problems. I mean, you don't understand. You know, I mean, are you sure?
God is good. There we go.
Wow, that's good. That is good stuff. Now, by the way, doesn't the Bible say taste of the Lord?
Yes.
And see that he is good? How do you taste of the Lord? Sometimes you have to give me a cap. I'm done tasting. Thank you. Be seated. You almost drowned me. But sometimes you have to taste of the Lord to see that he's good. Hey, thank God you have certain people in your life. You walk around and say, man, it's horrible. It's terrible. It's bad. Thank God you got certain people in your life that loves you enough to say, it's not all that bad. God's good. Thank God you got some people in your life that can take your pessimism and turn it into that which is faith optimism to believe that God can, and we could call that canism, but better not. Let me give you this. Bitterness. The Bible says looking diligently, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest the root of bitterness springing up trouble you, whereby many be defiled. Normally a person that has bitterness will cover and cover and cover and cover, but eventually it's going to come up. Come up in a conversation, come up in an action. But by the way, isn't all this pride? Okay, you know, walking in the flesh, what is that? That's the pride saying, I can do it myself. Unbelief, isn't that the pride of saying, I don't need to believe in him because I can handle the situation myself. The negative speech, isn't that the pride of saying, well, I tell you what, I'm better than so-and-so. The bitterness, isn't that the pride of thinking, well, you know, I'll tell you what, I don't deserve these circumstances that I'm in. All right, the Bible says this, and I'm done with one closing illustration after this verse. Listen to it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the, listen to it now, under the almighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He said, first you humble under, then he exalts you above. But first you have to come under, and then he exalts you. Well, I can take care of it. No, you can't. By the way, even if you could, God does not want you to, because he wants you to rely on him. Years ago, I'll give you this and I'm done. Her name was Kim Puck. Kim Puck. It was during the Vietnam War, and a bomb was dropped on her village. You'll remember she was on the face of Time magazine. It was a little girl that had been hit by a bomb, burned over a large part of her body. She was running down the street, crying and screaming. So in Time magazine many years ago, her name was Kim Puck. Kim Puck had that bomb that was dropped. And she said, you know, it was very hard to overcome. She said, I did. Being burned over most of my body, horrible, horrible experience. 50 years later, she testified and she said this. She said, it wasn't the fact that I was burned over my body. It was the fact of how I was received in the general public. And she said, because people would come up and they would just stare. People would come up and they would point. People would come up and they would make fun of. She said, but one day somebody introduced me to someone who would never make fun of me, who is Jesus Christ. This is her testimony. She said, and only at that time in my life, even though every time I looked in the mirror, I could see the evidence of the burns from the bomb. Even though every time I looked in the mirror, I didn't look like anybody else and I didn't speak like anybody else. She said, I always remember the grace of God, and that gave me the comfort on the inside to accept, stay with it, the outside. Isn't that what we need? Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what type of hurt you've gone through, you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Can I tell you this morning, it doesn't matter how deeply marred and damaged you are on the inside, if you would turn to Jesus Christ, He could help you every single step of the way. Father, help us this morning, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.